Gino Cassieri, welcoming each and every one of you for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Our study today is entitled The Three Crosses. The text or the passage that we'll be looking at will be found in Luke chapter number 23 in verses 39 to 43. But before we begin, let's meet with God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your saving and sufficient grace, dear Lord. Father, I pray that if there be someone listening that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day, the very hour, the very minute, the very second, that they would fall out with their sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive Him is to receive life eternal. Father, we just thank you for the good old King James Bible, the AV 1611, for your preserved, inerrant, inspired, infallible word that we can trust and stand on today. Father, now I just pray that you would give me thy words to teach and to preach. Encourage us now, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In our study, we want to notice three crosses that were represented at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 19 and verse 18, we are told they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. First, we want to notice the cross of rejection. The cross of rejection. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 39, we just read, the Bible says, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. I want us to notice some things about this particular thief that hung on this cross of rejection. First of all, we see there is no admission of his guilt. He's not interested in admitting he is wrong. This man is just mad that he's gotten caught, amen? He has worldly sorrow. In other words, he's not sorry that he's offended God and sinned against God. No, he is sorry that he has gotten caught. The Bible tells us about the end result of worldly sorrow in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10. The Bible says, The sorrow of the world worketh death. James chapter 1 verse 15 says, Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Romans 6:23 tells us, For the wages of sin is death. Here is a man who is reaping what he has sown, and he just doesn't like it, amen? You see, all of his life, this man sowed to his flesh. And the Bible tells us the result of this in Galatians 6:8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, amen? Next we want to notice this thief's skepticism or unbelief. He says to the Lord, if thou be Christ. You know, this is devil talk. Back there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 3, the devil said to Jesus, if, there's that if again, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In the Garden of Eden, the devil said to Eve regarding what God had said to her and Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, yea, hath God said? Remember, my dear friend, whenever you find skepticism and doubt about what God has said, you will find the devil is behind it, amen? In this particular case, what is subject to skepticism and unbelief is salvation. We know that the Bible tells us that the devil is the author of confusion. He wants people to doubt what the Word of God says, especially about salvation. Amen? And the reason for that is so that individual will end up in the lake of fire. Amen? You know, old Slewforth, Satan, he would rather have people in some false religion that will send them to hell. Amen? Like that group called Heaven's Gate a while back who ended up killing themselves over a comet believing they were on their way to heaven. You see, these folks believed a lie. The Bible says, amen, the Bible says about people who will not receive the truth, the people who will, folks that will believe a lie, the Bible tells us, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse number 11. See, these people had to be deluded, amen, to do what they did. The Bible tells us who the father of lies is. It's none other than Satan, amen. It should be no big surprise. We read in John chapter 8 verse 44, there is no truth in him, the devil, referring to the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen? He is the father of lies, Satan. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, how we are to come to God. The Bible tells us, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We see that one must come believing. Not with skepticism, doubt, or unbelief. Amen? The Bible clearly tells us of the eternal destiny of the unbeliever in Revelations chapter number 21 and verse number 8. The Bible tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. We want to notice something else about the cross of rejection. We want to notice, lastly, the lack of humility that this man had. Instead of being humble in looking for mercy, we are told this thief in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, railed on Jesus. Now the word railed means to utter reproaches, to scoff, to use insolent and reproachful language. Isn't that what happens most of the time when you and I try to witness to someone about the Lord on how to be saved? Amen. They rail on us. They sometimes say reproachful things, amen. They sometimes slam a door in our face, amen. Well, you see, amen, this thief still had some pride in him to act this way toward the only one who could save him. Just like when we knock on a door and we tell people how to be saved, and they refuse it and they're reproachful and they say sometimes nasty things to us, we have to remember then, amen, that they still have some pride in them, that they won't humbly humble themselves and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can save them from a literal burning lake of fire for time and eternity. Amen. The Bible declares that pride goeth before destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. This man so desperately needed the saving grace of God. The Bible tells us about the prideful person in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You see, pride is what sends a person to hell. The prideful heart attitude of, I don't need God, I can save myself, amen. I'm a good person, I've been baptized, amen. I go to church, amen. I never murdered anyone, amen. I never raped anyone, amen. That's pride. I can save myself. You see, this thief needed to turn to the Lord for mercy. Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 103 and verse 8, oh, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You see, my dear friend, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, amen, we are told that God's mercy is plenteous, amen. It'll never run out, amen. The Bible tells us that He saves to the uttermost. Don't let the devil, amen, try to put in your heart, amen, that there's some great, grievous sin that God cannot forgive you for, amen. Because the Bible says the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, amen. You see, this thief, amen, that hung on the cross of rejection needed to fear the Lord. Because according to the Psalms, Psalm 103 verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Amen. And Titus chapter 3 verse 5 tells us that God saves us according to His mercy. Amen. Instead of asking for mercy, amen, instead on this cross of rejection hung the unrepentant thief. He had no guilt. He had no shame for what he did. He had no belief in the Son of God. He had no humility because of his predicament. Ever since this thief breathed his last breath, he has been burning in hell, along with all the other skeptics. But the only difference now is he's a believer, amen? He's a believer. Second, now we want to notice the cross of reception. Look with me in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verses 40 to 42. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me, he says. We want to notice some things about the thief that hung on the cross of reception. First, we want to notice he feared God. He feared God. In Luke chapter 23, verse 40, we just read, this thief said to the thief that hung on the cross of rejection, he turned to him and said, Dost not thou fear God? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He knew that God controlled his destiny. He knew that God was the judge of all things. Amen. Second of all, we want to notice the thief on the cross of rejection. He realized that he was a condemned man with no earthly way out. Notice his words that we just read in verse 40. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. He knew that he was condemned to die. Amen. And there was no way out. Third, he acknowledges his sin in verse 41. He says, we indeed justly. Justly. He realized he was getting what he deserved. Amen. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, my dear friend, the acknowledgement of one's sin is the first step of getting saved. A person must first acknowledge they are a sinner. If a person does not see themselves as a sinner, then there's no need to be saved, amen? This is why the Pharisees, during the time of Jesus, did not repent and submit to the baptism of repentance under the ministry of John the Baptist. You see, they were self-righteous. They were trusting in being the physical seed of Abraham to save them. And you know what, my dear friend? Nothing has really much changed since the day of Jesus, amen? Because the religion of the Pharisees is still around today. Because most folks today are trusting in something else other than the shed blood, the precious blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ to save them, amen? Fourth, we want to notice about the thief that hung on the cross of rejection. He acknowledged he deserved his sentence. Notice with me in verse 41, he says, we receive the due reward of our deeds. He knew clearly that he had reaped what he had sown. In other words, he said, I am guilty for what I have done and deserve to be in the predicament that I am in. To be in the state that I am in is my own fault, is my own doing, amen. It's no one else. He acknowledged that he deserved his death sentence. He was sorry. He was sorry, amen, for his sin. Not that he got caught. Amen. Not that he got caught. But because he had sinned against God. This man had godly sorrow. Remember we looked at worldly sorrow? Amen. We looked at worldly sorrow over there a minute ago. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, again in verse 10, about godly sorrow. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of. The other thief on the cross of rejection had worldly sorrow. He was sorry that he got caught. He was not sorry that he offended God. But this thief that hung on the cross of reception had godly sorrow. Amen. He was sorry, not that he got caught, but he was sorry that he sinned against God. And he acknowledged his sin. Lastly, this thief that hung on the cross of reception, this thief acknowledged that Jesus did not deserve to be with them. He did not deserve the death sentence. In verse 41 of Luke 23, we read, "But this man hath done nothing amiss." The thief that hung on that cross of reception, he realized and acknowledged the sinlessness of the man next to him, of the man who hung in the middle. However, concerning himself, he knew and admitted that he was a sinner. Amen. That he was a sinner and deserved his sentence of death. And what we see here is the steps of someone getting saved. There was only one last thing for this man to do, and praise God he did it. He turned to the center cross, the third cross, the cross of redemption, and uttered these words. And he said unto Jesus, in verse 42, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." We want to notice the thief called Jesus Lord. This is very important because Lord is a title of deity. And what is interesting, all the so-called modern Bibles remove Lord in this verse. In essence, what they do is they remove the dying thief's saving confession of faith from him. They snatch it away. Instead of going to paradise, these new Bibles have this man going to hell. The new Bibles are guilty, my dear friend, of stealing, of taking away from the Word of God. Stealing or taking from the Word of God. Who's behind that, do you think? The devil. The devil. Because the Bible tells us he likes to take away the Word of God from the heart of man. Amen. The thief realized that only Jesus Christ could save him from the situation. The Bible tells us, my dear friend, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Unlike the other thief on the cross of rejection, the thief on the cross of reception had no doubt who Jesus was. He came to Jesus humbly, admitting his sin, accepting his sentence of death, and crying out to God for his mercy. This thief believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And we're told in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as receive him," that's Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Finally, we want to look at the third cross, my dear friend, the cross of redemption. Redeem, the word redeem means to buy back. Jesus buys back from the slave market of sin, from eternal damnation in the lake of fire, all those who call upon him to save them. Amen. The Bible tells us concerning Jesus' redeeming work on the cross. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, we're told, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, my dear friend, redemption is not in a church. Redemption is not in Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius. Amen. Or John Smith. Amen. Or in any church. Amen. No, redemption is in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can buy you back from sin. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, my dear friend, the law was given by God to Moses to show that you and I are sinners. That you and I are sinners. Amen. That we, like those thieves, all deserve the sentence of death. Not just physical death, but more important, spiritual death in a lake of fire. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. In whom we have redemption. The whom here is Jesus Christ. And what he used to buy us back from the slave market of sin, it tells us, and to get our sins forgiven is his blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 tells us what actually redeems us. With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Heavy price to pay for us, to keep us from going to that lake of fire, was Jesus Christ's precious blood, my dear friend. We want to notice Jesus' response to the thief on the cross of reception in verse 43 of Luke 23. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today. Right now, he's saying, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He gave the thief assurance that when he breathed his last breath, that he would be in paradise with Christ, with Jesus. Amen. You talk about good news, amen. Where could you find any religion in the world that could tell you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise? Show me one religion in this big, wide world that will tell you for sure you're going to paradise or heaven. All you had to do was ask to go, amen? To go there, trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the atonement of your sins. The bottom line is, there isn't any. Only Bible Christianity can make that promise, because it is based on the man, on the person, on that third cross, the cross of redemption. As we conclude our study, my dear friend, on the three crosses, let me ask you, which side of that cross of redemption are you on? Your eternity is counting on it, amen? Rejection or reception? Rejection will end you up in the lake of fire for eternity, where your undying soul will burn for a time in eternity. Or reception? Will you choose the cross of reception, which will end you up in paradise, heaven, for time and eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've never asked the Lord to remember you, or in other words, to save you, won't you ask him right now? Paradise, heaven, is waiting for you. And all you have to do is ask to go through the shed blood of the man on the cross of redemption.